listeners. This is Rick Castellini, and you're going to be listening to me for the next hour on the evening edition of the KFM Public Affairs. I usually say noontime public affairs, but this week it's 5:30 to 6:30 public affairs with Rick Castellini. Normally my buddy Adam Cochran is with me, but he is doing finals this week, college finals. So he's rushing to try to get through one of them. Possibly will join us today, but we're not sure. But again, you're listening to Rick Castellini, KFM Public Affairs, and we call this show all kinds of things. But the bottom line is, all you need to know is the phone number, 241-8801, 241-8801, extension 1. We only have one phone line, so call. And if I'm on the line with someone else, let it ring. When I hang up with them, I'll pick up with you. But you can call with any of your technology questions, or if you have something you want to share about technology, or you want to share a neat experience, or maybe you have a question about a new item you're buying this year for Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever you might celebrate, give us a call, 241-8801. I do want to say off the top of the show here, I have a friend who is thinking about getting one of these new internet pads, kind of like the iPad or the new Galaxy Tab from Verizon, things like that. And I'm really interested in people that have those items, particularly if you have a Galaxy Tab. I've not seen that out of the store yet. I've seen plenty of iPads and have not talked to a unhappy iPad user. But if anyone's using the Galaxy Tab or one of those other types of machines, please give me a call and talk to me about it. Tell me what you like about it, what you don't like about it, and all that kind of good stuff. 241-8801, extension 1. And I'm going to back off the mic just a second. The loud air conditioner was coming on, so I wanted to turn that off so you didn't get all the background noise from the air conditioner. You'll just get my background noise. 241-8801, extension 1. I'm going to get some of the underwriters out of the way right away, so that way I don't forget to do them. First underwriter for the evening edition of the Public Affairs here at KFM comes from Grand River Vineyards Winery. They are nestled beneath the Book Cliffs just off I-70 at exit 42 in Palisade. The winery is open 7 days a week, 362 days a year, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and winery tours are available. More information on Grand River Vineyards can be found online at grandriverwines.com, or you can call 464-5867. KFM thanks Steve and Naomi for their longtime support of community radio. Oh, just got a text message from Adam. Looks like he's on his way. All right, Mr. Adam, see you in a minute. Next underwriter comes from Heart Music, located at 417 Main Street, serving the West since 1934. Heart Music is the home of Yamaha pianos and Clavinovas, Yamaha, Roland, and Korg keyboards. More information is available at jbheartmusic.com and on Facebook. A lot of people are starting to use that Facebook thing. That may hang around a little longer than I thought it might. But you can give us a call, 241-8801, extension 1, or I have not been on the Twitter all day. You can tweet your questions, and my Twitter is HelpMeRick, so you can just Twitter at HelpMeRick. And since Adam is on his way in, you can Twitter Adam at TalkingDigital. And if you want to learn a little bit more about myself or Adam, you can visit our website at HelpMeRick.com. And normally as the calls start coming in, we'll always take your call first, but we'll jabber about things that we're interested in and we think that you may be equally interested in. In between calls. And this week, there's a fair amount of news coming in. And I would say one of the big ones was yesterday. And it comes from one of the biggest companies, Google. Google has announced that they've come out with their final version, or very close to the final version, of the Chrome OS. And what Chrome OS is the operating system from Google that they're going to compete head-on with Microsoft Windows and with the Apple computers. So they have thrown down the gauntlet. They were supposed to have something ready by this time. They announced it about a year and a half ago. But they did have some delays, and then all of a sudden they sped it up again. And this particular news conference they had yesterday actually came out of nowhere. And what the Chrome OS is, if you're not familiar with the Chrome web browser from Google, you really should familiarize yourself with it. Go to google.com/Chrome. Works on all operating systems. Very, very quick. You'll notice that you're browsing. If you're going to normal, like let's say you're going to your bank or shopping on Internet Explorer, if you're using Mac, Safari, or maybe you even are using Firefox, and you switch over to the Google Chrome, you'll notice how fast it is. So what they're doing with the operating system is they are basically saying there's so many security problems and computers, people, the main computer complaint, I forgot my word there, the main computer complaint that they get and I get are that people have slow computers. Well, the Chrome OS is already fast. Internet, by and large, is fast almost anywhere you go. So they have come out with a system where it's based on Linux, but it's a very scaled down, customized version of Linux. And all it is the Chrome browser. You can't add any extra applications to the computer program, to the computer. You can't, it doesn't have a lot of storage. In fact, they're doing solid state storage on these little machines. And it's very, very quick. In fact, by the time you push the button to the, you're on the web, it's about 10 seconds. And they did some demonstrations yesterday at the press conference. And when you shut it shuts down almost instantly. So it's a very quick on and off. One surprise that came up yesterday is that they are partnering with Verizon and giving people that buy these little Chrome OS laptops, are coming out with a laptop initially, and that's going to be sometime in the spring, and they're going to come out with a Verizon wireless card embedded into the system, but you don't have to buy another contract. You don't have to sign one of those silly two-year contracts. It's just a 100 megabytes free per month of online access through the Verizon network. If you need extra time or extra amount of space or bandwidth, as it would be, you can contract with Verizon on an as-needed basis. So that's kind of a neat thing. And I think what they're talking about right now is possibly like a $10 per day type of deal. So you don't have to use it every day for 30 days. Obviously, it'd be very expensive. But if you're on the road and you don't have access to Wi-Fi and you want to just have access to the internet as you're traveling, or maybe you're in a small town where they have Verizon coverage but no Wi-Fi in a hotel or a coffee shop, then you can log on for $10 for the day, which is kind of the going rate at most expensive hotels, and you'd have access on your little Chrome OS laptop. So kind of a big piece of news yesterday, and the little laptops are light and going to be very inexpensive, and we'll see what that does to the market come springtime. But they aren't available until the spring, unfortunately. So I thought if they could somehow roll them out quicker and get them out for the holidays, that may indeed put some dent into some of these pads and those kind of things we were talking about. So 241-8801 extension 1, 241-8801 extension 1 is the phone number. And you can call up with any of your questions, or again, tweet us at HelpMeRick or at TalkingDigital if you want to talk to or get a hold of Adam. Another news item that came this week is talking about applications. Apple is going to launch an actual application store for your Macintosh computer or laptop. And that's going to be similar to, if you're familiar with the iPhone, and if unless you've been on Mars the last 4 years, you know about these little gadgets called iPhones. And what we're seeing is that App Store has been such a popular and profitable thing for Apple to do that they're going to actually open up a similar type of a deal for your computer. And starting next year, you'll be able to run iPhone and iPad apps on your Mac. So that's another big change, and I think that's what the App Store is in preparation for doing that kind of those kind of apps and have that kind of integration. So those are the two biggest news items. I've been pretty darn busy this week, and I have not had a chance to peruse a lot of news. One thing that came up last week, I thought was, may have been 2 weeks ago, that was very interesting, speaking of Apple, is the very initial Apple, and I think they called it the Apple, it had a girl's name, I believe. I can't remember the name of it. But the very, very initial Apple computer that Wozniak, one of the early builders of the Macintosh, built back in the 70s, went up for auction and sold for almost $250,000. The computer was still in the box, all factory sealed from the very small, at the time, Apple Corporation. And someone had one. They put it up on an auction. Almost $250,000. Very, very, very interesting. So I thought that was an interesting news item. Other than that, I don't see any other big, big newses. I would say that I'm going to give my standard soapbox speech here because maybe we have some new listeners here on KFM from 5:30 to 6:30. And we're going to be doing this now every month on the second Wednesday, by the way. We're going to be the public affairs entourage on that second Tuesday, but we'll continue to do our noon to one public affairs on the third Wednesday of the month. But my standard little warning, especially for new listeners, and this is a good time of the year to warn you about it, is to beware of online scammers. There's always someone out there willing to try to take you for a ride, and it's never a fun ride, and it's always an expensive ride. So be weary of getting emails from people that you know. And that's the biggest thing I like to warn people about because I see this every single day. You're opening emails from people that you do know, but they have kind of a wacky subject, and they usually don't have much in the body of the message, or the body of the message does not sound like your friend or your family member, but yet you still click on it. And what you're seeing there is a virus. And even if you have good security on your system, and you knowingly, and again, you're by knowingly, I mean that you're clicking on it and you are participating, that overrides the security on your system and puts the junk on your system, and then you have problems from there on out. So please, please be careful during this holiday season of opening emails from people you know that look suspicious, and you just have to be a little more discerning about looking at those subject lines. And if you're very weary, you're very unweary, and you look at the body of the message, don't click on links. If anything looks out of the ordinary, just delete the message. You can thank me later for that. So 241-8801, extension 1. I heard this on the radio today earlier. There was a statistic. The FCC has a standard for high-speed internet here in the United States, and they're hoping that anyone with high-speed internet has at least 4 megabits. I'm distracted here. Adam's trying to get in the door. Has at least 4 megabits of speed in their high speeds. Adam, I was getting tongue-tied. Did you find the doorbell?
Yeah, I found it.
All right, cool. How was finals?
Is somebody else in here with you?
Or is it just me and you?
Cool.
There he is.
Finals were good. Yeah.
Good. All right, I'll let you catch your breath. We're going to get a phone call here.
I'm ready. Go for it.
241-8801, extension 1. Then we're going to talk about high-speed internet and the FCC here in a second. Hello, welcome to KFM. What's your first name?
Oh, it's Teddy.
Hi, Teddy. How can we help you?
Well, I'm delighted to hear you guys at the 5:30 hour.
Hey, thank you. I noticed you're not here tonight.
But I'm calling you because I have a question.
Great. That's what we're here for.
Okay. I can't figure out, in my haze of lack of technology, what I need and how to play, how to hook up my computer to the TV and how to play Netflix movies. Can you give me any advice on that?
Well, there's a lot.
A short answer to
There's some easy ways of doing that now.
Yeah, it depends on the TV, and it depends on what you're doing. Now, do you have a desktop computer, or are you talking about your laptop?
My laptop.
Okay. Now, do you have a flat panel TV?
I do.
Okay. Probably the easiest thing to do is get yourself, if you don't already have one, a VGA cable, Victor Goat Alpha, VGA cable. And you go from your laptop to the VGA port. Sometimes it's designated as RGB port on the back of your TV. And sometimes it's just marked computer port.
So what my husband did was... because we have a Mac.
Okay.
So he got the little Mac adapter thing that goes
from the,
I guess,
from the mini, because on the Macs they have the mini DVI port.
That's what he did.
Yeah,
he bought
to a VGA, huh?
And then I don't know what it is, but it's a cord he brought home to try out, which is usually what goes from your desktop
That's exactly right.
That's the VGA. Okay, so we did successfully hook it up.
Good.
Hook it up to the computer. There's a port on the back of my flat screen that says, like, you know, computer.
Right. It's PC. Computer is different.
Yeah.
They're all a little different.
And what happened was the desktop picture of from my laptop came up on the screen, but none of the icons did, and then it kind of would not go anywhere from there.
So what you're going to look for on when you hook up a Mac to an external port, to an external monitor, by default, it's going to extend the monitor, extend the display. So as you mentioned, you couldn't see your icons and things on the TV, and that's because your Mac was saying we're going to extend the desktop, meaning that you're going to have your existing desktop on your Mac. But you're also going to have an extra screen off to the right. And if you move your mouse way off to the right of the screen, you'll start seeing the cursor float around on the TV. Now, you can change that by going into the Apple Preferences. Click the Apple and then click Preferences. And then when you're in the Preferences, you click Display.
Right.
And if you're already connected to your TV, it'll notice you have the display. And then you can tell the Macintosh to either mirror what's on your screen, or you can tell it to, again, it's already in that extended mode. But what you can do, if it's in the extended mode, it's not going to hurt anything. Just open up your browser, get into Netflix, and then pull the window, using your mouse, pull the window over to the TV. That's all you got to do.
Okay.
In other words, it's thinking of your computer monitor and your TV as one gigantic monitor, and so you can drag stuff back and forth between the monitors as though it's one big panorama.
Okay.
But you can do it either way.
I need to go further to the right or whatever you have said. Okay, so I just need to play around with it. So I'm almost there.
You're very, very close.
Okay. Let me spend some time experimenting, and let me let you guys take some more calls.
Sure. Well, we appreciate it. Thanks, Teddy.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know,
calls don't count. I don't count calls if they come from KFM volunteers and employees. So let's get some non-volunteers coming in here at 241-8801 extension. We love helping anyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I like to have non-KFM family members.
On that note, though,
yes,
I wish she would have called us before she went to all the work of getting the cables.
Okay.
Because I've been watching the ads a lot, and I've been thinking, I fight this same thing because I have several TVs in the house. I don't want to move my computer or set up a laptop at every TV or that I want to watch Netflix on.
Right.
I also don't want to invest in one of the TVs that has the Netflix stuff built in. But what I've been doing is I've been watching the ads, and every week for usually about $80, they have a Blu-ray player with Netflix and Pandora built in.
That's right.
And once I see that option, then, and of course, that's hardwired. If you want the wireless, then it only costs about $120 to find one that's a Blu-ray player. Plus, it also does Netflix, Pandora, and some of them even have web browsing. Yeah, some of them even have a little bit. Some of them will run like
Facebook
or a Flickr stream or something like that. So, really, I think if you have Pandora and you have Netflix, that's all you really need in one of these devices because that'll keep you busy. You know, if you want music, you have Pandora, and if you want Netflix, you have that.
And you get a new one. Adam,
nice.
I'm going to tell you to move to mic 4 if you don't mind.
Yeah, you got it.
Just move on this chair, big guy, because otherwise I'm looking at Adam through about 90 different pieces of information. I'm very easily distracted, and so having somebody right in front of me is a lot better. Thank
you. You said mic.
You're on 4. You.
Well, this says 1 on this.
Well, but that's the headsets. Headsets don't match.
Interesting. Okay.
Don't match the mics.
I got you. Good deal.
All right, 241-8801. Yeah, there's lots of different ways to get the Netflix over there. If you have an Apple like she did too, you can Spring. It's a little probably more expensive. Mm-hmm. How much? The Apple TV is $99.
Yeah.
You can do the Netflix with that.
Yeah, I think so.
So that'd be the other thing.
So that's another option. You also have the option of buying a Wii or buying
if you already have one, yeah.
PlayStation, or you know, a Wii is $199 now, and you have a game system built into it. However, the Wii doesn't play DVDs.
No, it does not.
Which is stupid.
Well, maybe the next one will.
Maybe, but still, I mean, to me, that just seems like it would be obvious, and well, or they would have upgraded it at some point. But yeah, it amazes me.
I don't know why they didn't add
DVDs.
That in there.
I have no idea.
Because certainly the Xbox does, and so does the PlayStation.
Yeah, people complain that it's not HD, but that doesn't bother me near as much as the fact that it doesn't even play a DVD.
At all.
You already have it hooked up to your TV, it'd be that much easier.
Yeah, they don't have to have an extra device.
Right.
Definitely. Well, hey, on the way in, I don't know if you were listening or not, I was talking about the Chrome OS announcement yesterday.
Yeah,
How much reading did you do?
I saw that it came out it's coming out in 2011, and there were some preview screenshots of it, but I haven't.
Yeah.
So you didn't do a whole lot?
Okay, good. Well, you've been in deep in school this week, so you're like
mode.
I am. Kind of been on kind of news blackout a little bit.
A little bit.
But it looks very cool. It's supposed to come out in the spring.
Yeah.
They did have one thing that I thought was neat is it has a built-in wireless or cellular wireless receiver, and you don't and it comes with 100 megabytes free wireless broadband every month through Verizon.
Now, what is this? Okay, I'm confused.
The Chrome OS laptop.
Oh, the Chrome OS laptop. I thought you were just talking about Chrome OS.
No, no.
The operating
system.
Well,
it's going to come out in a laptop.
I got you.
Initially.
Okay, so it's going to have 3G built in.
3G built in with 100 megabytes for free for the lifetime of the computer.
Oh.
No 2-year.
Only 100 megabytes total.
Only 100 megabytes total per month.
Okay. Per month.
Per month.
Wow.
100 megabytes per month. But no crazy, 2-year deals, the little, those things? Contracts.
Yeah, the contracts, yeah.
So that's kind of neat.
Well, this is cool.
And but if you need extra megabytes per month, you can just do an on-demand kind of contract with Verizon.
Wow.
It's kind of cool. So kind of almost like the iPad 3G.
Yeah, but still, that's
a little bit better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, the one thing you'll see with Google is if this really catches on, Google has to have something up their sleeve. I don't know how they couldn't. I mean, when they roll out Gmail and they say, oh, we'll give you 1 gigabyte of space.
Right.
And then as soon as everybody else says, well, we can do 1 gigabyte, they say, okay, we're upping it to 7.5 gigabytes.
Right.
Nobody can catch up. You know, I mean,
right.
I think that's where Google's at. I think this is one of those tricks. I think they've got a 1 gigabyte or a 500 megabyte plan just around the corner that they're waiting to pull out as soon as iPad decides to up theirs to a free 200 megabytes.
Right, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. And the other rumor that came out this week was the iPad 2.
Yeah, I saw that.
A lot of things swirling around.
I think there's a few things, though, that are constants. With Apple rumors, you can almost always find the constants.
Yeah, and what's come out in the constant?
I think the one is the camera. I think it will have a front-facing camera.
It's got to have one, yeah.
I don't know if it'll have a rear-facing camera, though.
Especially if it's the big size.
I almost wonder if they'll just do a front-facing so you can do FaceTime and not worry about it because they want to leave something in demand for the next model, which is what Apple does.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, too, is I think the Retina display has to be legitimate because every report I've read says that they're coming out with that Retina display on it,
right.
Which would be nice. It would make it a whole lot easier for reading on. But
true.
Those are the two things that I've seen.
I'm hoping it comes in. I put the word out at the top of the show that I'd love to hear from someone that's actually using the Galaxy iPad, Galaxy
Tab.
Mm-hmm. And because I'd like to see what people are doing with it in the real world. Have you seen a real world application of it yet?
Nope.
They
I don't know
if it's selling well, but
I think it is. I think it's selling among Android fans who don't want to get an iPad. But I still think it's very, I think it's
overpriced.
A lot of geeks.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a lot of day-to-day users buying it.
Yes, I'm very curious about that. So I'm hoping that somebody out there maybe is using one will call us, 241-8801. I did give out your Twitter, Adam, @TalkingDigital. I'm @HelpMeRick. I don't think I've gotten a tweet question yet.
In fact, today I walked into Best Buy, and I was with my daughter, and she hadn't seen the color Nook yet, so I was showing that to her. And there was a guy there who I know from around town and other things I'm involved with. And he was shopping for his wife to get her an e-reader.
Okay.
And it's really a difficult time to be shopping for something like that right now, because if you want an e-reader that you can read everywhere, then you go with the e-ink screens because they're the best in sunlight. There's so many advantages. However, the second you say, well, I also want to surf the web with it, then you jump over into a device that's a totally different device. It's not just an e-reader, but it's also something with a color screen that surfs the web, that plays games. and you start crossing over into the Nook color. Well, once you get into the Nook color, mm-hmm. you're around that $200, $250 price point. It's, and that Nook color only lets you do the things that the Nook color wants you to do. And so your next choice is, well, is it worth getting that Nook color that has all these limitations to it? Or should I spend, you know, $200 more, less than $200 more, and get an iPad, you know, 16 gig iPad? And
it's a really tough market right now.
But as soon as you go to the 16 gig iPad, then you have a device you can't read in the sunlight, and you can't, you know, you lose all the advantages to the e-ink.
Okay,
it's
now,
a reading.
Now let's talk about the sunlight thing real quick. How many times do you sit out in the sunlight read your electronic
devices?
That's
a good question, but at the same time, how many of us would carry 50 books with us in our car just in case we want to read one while we're sitting at the school waiting for our kids? Or
but if you're in
like
your
that.
Car, or you're in the shade of a tree.
If you're in your car, you can't see it. If it's daylight. I can't see my cell phone very well in the car.
You can't?
Not well enough to, I mean, go to an e-book.
I read
Do you
mine
read your
all
e-book
time.
In the
yeah.
car? Okay,
all the time.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I just know I wouldn't want to look.
But my phone might be different. I don't know.
But you look at an e-ink screen, something with that
right.
nice
no, they're
screen.
Better. Lot less glare.
That's it. I don't know. I just think you can make the text bigger. You can, you know, it's more the size of a book.
I just think that the whole can't read it in the sun thing.
Do you?
Is not a very valid argument.
I think that's true. I think that's not a valid argument for a laptop. Because I don't read my laptop in the sunlight.
And I'm not going to go to the beach and sit
exactly,
in the sun.
Exactly. However,
bake
I
my
think
laptop.
But I think the places people read versus the places they check their email are two separate places. I think it's a totally different argument. I think there's enough people out there that say, yeah, I do read. I go out on the porch and I read, or I go.
But now what screen is on your phone?
I have the AMOLED screen.
And it washes out in the sun?
A little bit dimmer than a regular LED screen. Mm-hmm. Brighter colors and all of that. But as soon as you get it into
the sunlight,
then it's too dark to read in bright sunlight. But that's fine with me because I don't, you know, I'm not reading a lot in the bright sunlight.
Right.
And I can see it well enough. But
when it comes to
reading, I want to read a book. I want to be able to read that book anywhere I want to go. I don't want to say, well, it's too bright outside to read, so I'm going to find a real book. I don't know.
Okay, very good. Well, I just like to discuss that because I never know exactly.
I think it's not a great argument for not getting a laptop of a certain screen, but when it comes to reading, I think there's enough people who do read outside. What you doing?
Fair enough. We're getting ready to do the radio calendar, the radio room calendar. We'll do at the top of the hour. So, in fact, I think we're going to transition into that here for a second. And I am on the board today, so that's always a very scary thing, but we're going to give it a shot.
All the lights should be red. No.
It's coming up, hopefully. It's still tracking. The laser is still
working. These are high-end CD players, which means they take longer to queue up than
I guess I should have put I have some music queued up. I should have queued up the music.
Well, that's okay. We'll get there.
Here we go. I think it's coming on. It says track one. Well, it's spinning. I can hear it grinding. But we're not getting a darn thing.
Yeah?
Robert's coming in here to see. We're getting a lot of blinking. Robert's calendar doesn't seem to want to work. You can tell me what you think. You see? That's CD3.
This is some of the best radio we could possibly put together here.
Oh, he doesn't like the CD player. Robert's going to switch it
good
out.
Good for him. Yeah.
He
good,
says,
good move.
Screw that.
We're Reboot gonna... it. Turn, shut it off. Restart it.
All right. Well, we'll just do the calendar in a few minutes.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
What else is up?
The only other thing news-wise that I saw this week was, what was that thing I discussed? And I hate to discuss it again since we're at the top of the hour.
Yeah, let's do it.
I was doing it as you were coming up the stairs, and then I got off kilter. Was the Wozniak laptop that sold for almost $250,000? Not laptop,
that was
the first Apple computer.
Apple One or whatever it was.
What
yeah.
were they, was there a girl's name attached to it or something?
No, there was Lisa. Lisa was a long time after
Lisa.
That.
Lisa.
Yeah, this was the Apple computer that wasn't actually a computer. It was the motherboard and the chips that you would buy to put together an Apple computer. But
and it was one of the first ones to kind of come pre-put together.
It was pre-compiled. Everything was there, and you just had to plug it all in.
It was $250,000.
Yeah.
Still in the original
originally
box.
Sold for $2,000. Or something like
which
that.
Which was a lot of money back then.
Which, you know, that I had this discussion with somebody just today about what technology do you hold on to that's going to increase in value versus the stuff that you don't. And I think the first generation of anything, if you're early adopters, you know, if you have
hang on to it.
If you have a Nexus One, mm-hmm. put it in a drawer. You know, it's there and it works, and you don't need to sell it on eBay to make a few bucks. Then right. I would say throw that in a drawer. I think if you have one of the, in fact,
in
I know
30 it, years it could be worth something.
Yeah, if you have one of the original, the pre Palm Pilots. I can't remember what they were called. They weren't
it was
called
3M.
Palms. Well, it was before that. It was before they even put the Palm name on them. They ran the Palm OS. I know that those are very sought after now. The
or it was US Robotics.
It was even, yeah, but no, it was even before that. It was back when, yeah, it was before that. It was even.
That's the way back, going the way back.
Yeah, a couple different companies put together the, you know, just use that Palm operating system.
All right, we're going to try CD player number one. We have four to choose from.
That's my favorite one.
Let's go see if this one works. Here we go.
Lock the door, I turn off the porch light. I unplug the phone for the night. It's best if there's no one in sight. When I dance the introvert waltz.
On Friday, January 7th, KAFM presents award-winning songwriters Cozy Sheridan and T.R. Ritchie in concert at 8 p.m. in the Radio Room. Cozy Sheridan has been called one of the era's finest and most thoughtful songwriters. That's Friday, January 7th at 8 p.m. in the Radio Room. Tickets are just $15. For tickets or more information, call 241-8801, extension 223, or visit us at kafmradio.org. The Radio Room events calendar is sponsored by Design Kiln, making professional website design a reality. The next screening at the Real Time will be 10 miles per hour, January 20th at 7 p.m.
There is comfort you do not grow out of, and shoes you cannot replace, birthdays you always look back on, and goodbyes you cannot.
All right, we're back. Calendar is over. Nice. And we now know which CD player works better. You should be on.
Am I on?
Okay. Oh, no, now
you're on.
Now
I'm on.
There
okay.
you are. I turned on the CD and set off. We know which CD now works with the burn CDs the best.
If you'd like to know more about that, you can give us a call and ask us. But we'd also like to accept any other question that you might have and talk computers with you.
241-8801, extension 1. We knew it would be a little quiet from 5:30 to 6:30 because people are on their way home. Pick up your cell phone. If you're listening to 88.1 FM right now, pick it up. Give us a call. I know you have a question. Today I had my meeting with my user group in the morning, and when I have the hour Q&A, it's always just wall-to-wall questions.
Yeah.
So I know people have questions. Adam and I get stopped constantly and asked questions, and we'll answer all those very, very, very readily. So give us a call, 241-8801, extension 1.
Go ahead if you have something to say.
Well, I'm going to do our PSA.
Okay, go for it.
It's the PSA for this hour here at KFM 88.1 Grand Junction, Colorado. The Vegetarian Society of Colorado Grand Junction Area Branch invites the public affair to their Festive Foods Vegan Potluck on December the 18th at the Lakeside Community Room. For further information, you can call Marion at 255-0417 or visit vegetariansocietyofcolorado.org. All right, so we are officially through.
Wow, good.
With all of our announcements and PSAs and all those kinds of things. So we are ready for phone calls, 241-8801, extension 1. And you had
something. Well, I had something interesting that IE9, have you read about the IE9 do not track tool?
No. Oh, I did. It was all over today on
the
news.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, big deal.
Every web browser out there has a...
Yeah.
You can customize your cookies. Modes. Or they just have the mode where you can just say...
Mode.
Yeah, the privacy modes. Mm. The porn modes that you can go into. That's what they're called all the time.
I understand.
But, you know, the modes that you say, well, I don't want my computer to remember anything. I don't want any of my history to be saved as I'm doing this. And you can go into a secret mode in your computer. Well, now... IE9 has introduced the do not track tool in order to lure people back.
3 years later than everybody else.
Well, it's clever wording. It's good marketing, but, you know, I don't know.
Let's answer a quick question here. Hello, welcome to KFM. What's your first name?
I don't want to be on the air. Thank you.
Okay, oh. Thank you. Bye.
Hello?
They don't want to be on the air, so
can't do anything about that.
We're on the air, 241-8801, extension 1. Being on the air is not scary. Nobody's listening.
It's a phone
call. It's just Adam and I. It's just a phone call.
Yep.
And we're very easy with folks. Unless you tell us you don't want to be on the air, then I have to hang up on you because I have to honor your wishes.
This is a radio show.
241, we're bad enough as
we do
is.
Have a website that if you don't want to be on the air, you're welcome to ask a question via the website.
Well, tweet us.
That'd or tweet us. Hey, tweet us. Tweet send us a message on Twitter.
Yeah, helpmerick.com.
Yeah, don't ask
website.
Us any. We won't answer any email during the show usually on here either. We do that on our podcast, but not on our radio
That's
show.
That's right. We don't have time to do everything in the 1 hour we have here at KFM.
Have you heard about that new website called WikiLeaks?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I guess there's a website out there called WikiLeaks. It's different than Wikipedia.
Okay.
I've
heard of it, for those people that can't get my tongue in my cheek.
We're being sarcastic, absolutely, and I think everybody's heard of it by now. In fact, I wonder how many people out there are afraid to visit it because they're afraid the government might see that they're visiting the site.
Okay, hold on one second. We're going to try again.
Let's do it.
Hello, welcome to KFM. What's your first name?
You're on the air.
Well, excuse me. I guess I will be on the air.
Oh, good. Okay.
Well, if I could get on the internet, I would get on the internet. But
no, that's great. How can we help you?
I live way out in the country, and both of you folks have been to my home trying to make sure things work, and I'm dealing with Quest for the last couple of weeks, and I think they finally have decided that they have some kind of modem that they had in storage that might work in my area.
Oh, wow.
So I'm wondering if, in fact, it still doesn't work, if I should believe them or what.
No. I think you've had that many if you've had that much trouble with getting them to work and they're still not working, if you live way out in the country, it's probably that it's just too weak out there to do it.
Would that be the same if we've had their service for like 5 years and now we don't?
Oh, no, it wouldn't. I'm sorry.
So you had the DSL service.
Yeah.
You had the DSL service and then all of a sudden it stopped working?
Right.
Ah, and so now they're trying to blame it on a modem.
Yes.
I see.
And we went and bought another one and they've been in and out of my home for 2 weeks and they finally said, well, we drug this old thing out that we've been saving and I still am a little reluctant, I guess, to say, okay, thank you, you fixed it.
Well, is it working at the moment?
I don't know, but usually it's been like 25% of the time out of a long time that it has.
Well, I would say that if you were you working pretty well for the last 4 or 5 years on the DSL?
Pretty well, and then periodically just kind of deteriorated over the last few months.
So it was a gradual decline.
Yeah.
So was there anything new that you've done to your house? Added new phone lines, any construction?
No.
Any major construction in the area, maybe?
No, but they found places that they, you know, somebody ran into this box, so they fixed that and this and that. And so, I don't know.
Well, see, the thing with DSL, for those out there listening to our conversation here, the DSL relies on a certain distance from your home to the switch boxes at Quest because of the communication that has to happen for the data. And if that communication gets interrupted either at your home or somewhere in between, your DSL service either suffers or doesn't happen at all. In your case, they're telling you they give you a particular modem, meaning that they must think, what I'm just guessing, is that because of the length of the distance you are from their switching points and maybe the type of technology they have in that area, maybe they're saying the newer modems aren't talking the right language to the older wiring and switches and that kind of stuff in your area. So maybe maybe they're thinking by going backwards to some older technology will work. As long as you have all of you, and if they've come out to your house, I'm sure they've checked this, but as long as you have all your phone lines filtered in your house and you have any, and that includes anything like alarm systems or some people have fire alarm systems and those kinds of things on telephone, as long as all that's filtered, and you've done all the right things on your end, everything else happens between there and Quest.
Mm-hmm. So if in fact everything's kind of okay, and they said, yeah, we still think that might be one little filter on your phone that's causing it, is that, like, reliable? Or?
Well, it's possible. And the other thing you can do to test a DSL function is unplug all the other phones from all the walls except for your DSL. And I don't know if they've tested that.
I spoke with a representative from Quest from Southeast Asia for an hour and a half, and we went through all that, and he was very helpful, but we still never found the problem until Quest gave us this old antiquated modem.
So. Right.
I would say check with some of the wireless folks around town. I don't know if you are you on the west end of the valley?
Yes.
Okay, if you're on the west end of the valley, check with, Fruita Wireless out there in the west end of the valley. Depending on where you live, you may have access to them. Fruita Wireless. There is another company in town called Wi-Fi West.
Uh-huh.
And then also Stellera, S-T-E-L-E-R-A.
Okay.
And those are three wireless systems that you can utilize. Now, can you get a Verizon or Sprint signal in your neck of the woods?
Yes, we have Verizon. It's a little shaky here and there in the house, but yes, okay. We have Verizon.
Then we'll bypass that because you don't want shaky. So check with one of those three wireless because maybe the DSL just isn't working properly. And as long as you've gone through all this tech support, they've come out to your house, nothing else has been able to find anything that's consistent, it just may be where you live.
And don't be afraid along the way if you continue to have problems but would like them to keep troubleshooting it and maybe they can come up with an answer. Don't be afraid to say, look, this has not worked for 3 months or X months reliably. Yeah. Please credit me something to make up for some of this frustration because you shouldn't be paying bills if you're not using their service.
Right, and that's kind of exactly where I am, and I appreciate you saying that because I want to pursue that. But I also wondered if we do decide to change services completely, the Wi-Fi, the wireless, and I know nothing about everything you guys are talking about, is that really a whole lot more expensive to
no,
go
it's about
to
the
wireless?
It'll be about the same as what you're paying now.
Yeah, it'll be very similar to your DSL.
Yep.
Okay, all right. Well, that's what I needed to know. Well, thank you very much for your service.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We're friendly. We're just,
241.
We just can't talk to people who don't want to be on the air. We don't know how to do that. So we're glad that she called back.
Yeah. 241-8801 extension 1, 241-8801 extension 1. Now, before we took the call, you were talking about
some web WikiLeaks.
Oh, WikiLeaks.
Yeah, WikiLeaks. I just wanted to bring it up because everybody else is talking about it. Stir the pudding a little bit. Let you know, you can visit the site and see what it's all about without bad guys.
Well, I think what's interesting is that governments always talk about wanting to be transparent.
Yeah.
But the minute you get transparent, all of a sudden, that's not good.
And how transparent is okay to be transparent.
That's right.
It's a great debate, I think.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Another phone call. Hello. Welcome to KFM Public Affairs. What's your first name?
Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. How can we help you?
I have a question. I moved into the place I'm living about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And got Bresnan DSL. I have a Dell desktop. And then last February, my Verizon contract was up, so I ended up getting a Droid Eris.
Okay.
And I have data on that, of course. And everything was fine. I discontinued my cable service or whatever, my DSL service. And I've been perfectly happy with the Droid, except I want to use Skype at home, and it's impossible to do it on the phone. And so I'm trying to figure out ways that I can use my desktop, get Skype on my desktop through some kind of, because my phone has a wireless modem.
Okay.
So, and I don't know if Skype needs a faster connection than I can get by, tethering and activating my wireless modem, what I'm looking at. I really don't understand.
In our area of the country, I should say, we do not have fast enough cellular coverage in the valley yet to properly drive Skype. You really need a consistent 1.5 megabit or stronger signal, and that's not happening here in the valley with any of the cellular companies. So maybe in a year, 2 years, that'll happen. But right now, if you want to have good Skype coverage, you need to have a good, strong DSL or cable connection.
Now, that said, I don't know if you know about Google Voice. But Google Voice, it's if you can get into it and get signed up for it, I use Google Voice through my cell phone all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that,
And that allows me to call another Google Voice.
Well, yeah, but I'm sure you want video, though, right, Nancy?
Yeah, I want the video part. Okay. I mean, I use the phone part of Skype.
So Skype is, okay, so you're looking for two-way video. We use two-way video using a service called, what's the name of the video service? I'm going to have to look at my phone here.
Which one do you do?
Well, there's two of them. There's Fring, F-R-I-N-G.
Oh, you mean on your phone?
On the phone, yeah. There's two of them. Fring is one of them.
Does it work any good?
Yeah. Yeah, it works. And then the other one that works is a service called, and I just got to look. Oh, Quik. Q-I-K.
Q-I-K.
Yep. Quik and Fring both allow two-way video. They both work fairly well over your standard data plan on your cell phone, but they also are compatible with computers, too.
Wow. I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, so try them out. I can't guarantee they work with everybody because I haven't used them on Verizon and I haven't used them on your particular phone. But
Adam has a Sprint Droid.
Yeah, I have a Sprint Android, and it came with the Quik installed, but it also works well with Fring as well.
Hmm. So is it a waste of time for me to pursue trying to get wireless on my desktop through my phone? I mean, I know I can do it. There's some software I have to download.
You will have to, and you'll have to root your cell phone probably. There's a few.
No, not on Verizon. They have a little app.
Oh, that's right. Verizon has it. Yeah. So it's like Well, it depends on how you're wanting to do it. Are you wanting to connect a cable to it, or are you wanting to just connect up through Wi-Fi?
Yeah, I have a little connector.
Okay.
They charge you extra money, though, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It should work, but I.
It's not going to be very fast.
It's not going to be very fast. It's not going to be as consistently fast as your cable or DSL connections.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because that's the one thing that cellular connections, they always tell you it's going to be a maximum of XYZ, and the speed can fluctuate to as much as 25% of that maximum and all the way to the maximum, but usually it's between 25 and, say, 60% of what they advertise.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm sure, like a lot of people, you get into these stages. Like, I bought the desktop. I thought, oh, that's great. It's cheap, $500, and I can get everything I want. And, you know, I have a job, too, and I can use my computer and Skype at work, so that's fine. But, and now, you know, it's like 2 years later, I've got this data phone. I don't really want the desktop anymore.
Right.
You know, no, I'd rather have a laptop that I can move around and Skype on that, you know?
Sure.
But it's. No, I've got it. So what do people do? You can't just, like, change computers every year.
Nope.
You
know?
Not unless you have a deep pocket.
No,
I would certainly go back to the Verizon people and say, what are my options and what can I do and what's the cheapest way to go about it? Because every cell phone company is different, and Verizon's...
And changing.
Yeah, and Verizon's policies, I know, are actually a little more open than most of the other companies. As far as free Wi-Fi, you know, using your cell phone as a Wi-Fi hotspot and things like that. So, there is a potential there, but I just don't know what to tell you to expect unless you talk to Verizon. I mean, they're really going to be the experts there.
But you're on the right track because there's so many options. It's great to explore them to see what are my best options and how can I maybe save some money by streamlining those options. So you're doing the right thing. You just have to do more information gathering.
One other question, just about wireless at home. I mean, I live in the Redlands, and I have no idea who has wireless around here. But, I mean, if I did go through my phone and, you know, get my modem going, how do you – I mean, I know you can search for wireless in your area, and you get those little bar graphs to say how strong it is and everything. But how do you use those? Can you just –
hold on. Are you talking about wireless like somebody has a router in their house wireless? Or are you talking the cellular wireless where companies offer a special modem and a special antenna that you have to buy?
I'm talking about just like neighborhood wireless.
Neighborhood wireless. That's our favorite. It's a constant joke we have on the show, and we love it. Yeah, neighborhood wireless is actually, if you can get into it without a password,
then it is neighborhood wireless.
Yeah, it's neighborhood wireless, but it actually means your neighbors don't have their wireless connection encrypted the way that they should, or secured the way that they should.
So you don't really want to use it anyway.
well, it's cheating.
It's cheating.
Yeah, it's cheating. That's probably a better way to put it. There's nothing illegal really about it. There's nothing that's going to get you in trouble. It's going to slow your neighbor's wireless down, and they probably don't want you to do it. But
and they probably won't know you're doing it.
They probably won't know you're doing it either, right?
Yeah, so neighborhood wireless is just for those times when your wireless is down.
Yep.
And you say, okay, I'm going to jump on and check my email real quick on the neighbor's dime.
I see, yeah. Well, that explains a lot. I mean, it's funny because I talk to my kids. They live in Brooklyn, and, you know, like there, it's no big deal to use your neighbor's wireless because every single apartment
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wireless now.
Well, and
you
if
know,
you're
Mom,
in,
just
yeah, if you're in
neighborhood wireless, I'm like, what?
That's funny.
That's where I live.
Well, we appreciate the phone call and good luck shopping
Thank
around.
Thank you guys so much for doing this.
All right, take care. Bye bye.
Bye.
Okay, a couple quick notes here. I forgot to do, Adam. We have to do upcoming programs. Rest of the evening here tonight from 6:30 to 9, we have Straight No Chaser with Eve. And from 9 p.m. to midnight, it'll be Junior with Switching Gears is his show. And then tomorrow, you can wake up to the sounds of Barry and Folk Waves from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. All right, 241-8801. You can have time to ask Adam and I a couple more questions if you do, or if you want Adam to look up WikiLeaks. Do you have a WikiLeaks app on your phone?
No, I don't even really read it that much. I do keep track of what's coming up. I like it when they say, coming up, we're going to release UFO information and stuff like that.
Now,
but
just what is your take on Visa, MasterCard, PayPal, Amazon, all these guys dropping their support?
I can understand why they're doing it. I mean, they're a business. They're allowed to do that if they want to, and they're covering themselves. I don't think it's necessary, and I don't think they're going to get in trouble
if they don't.
You think
they bowed to pressure?
Oh, I think it's yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
for sure.
It's a political.
I mean, this whole rape investigation thing and all that stuff. I mean, it is
with no bond, no bail,
no charges.
Yeah,
you know, it's there's all. I mean, it's really putting everybody in.
It's a very black cloak kind of thing.
Oh, it is.
It really,
it's really on both sides, though.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's an interesting story, and I hope that it makes a great movie in about 10 years.
Well, see, and I'm all for government transparency, and as you mentioned, there is a certain point where governments cannot be transparent about everything.
Right, sure.
But one of the big things with our new administration 2 years ago was the ability for the citizens to be able to make more recommendations and see what's going on.
Right.
And they had the great website for a while, the White House.
Sure.
It was whitehouse.gov, but it was one of their little offshoots. That where you could go on and talk with other people and rate different things.
Yep.
It was very cool. It was up for like 3 months and it's been gone.
Yeah.
And they've never brought it back.
No.
So that's a little bit disconcerting to me. But that was part of that, was trying to get the actual citizens more involved in the government.
Yeah.
And that's the way I look at WikiLeaks.
I think it's going to happen no matter what. You know, it's just who would you want to control the information there?
Yeah.
I don't know. Kettlewell, one of our fans, and we're a fan of his as well, fellow geeks in town, says that he does use Skype on his phone as a backup when he's in Wi-Fi range. And that's true. Skype works great on Wi-Fi,
but
over the cellular. However, FaceTime and those things do work pretty well over cell.
FaceTime's not available on cell. It's only on Wi-Fi.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, well, never mind then.
Yeah,
I guess
it's only on Wi-Fi.
I guess my quick on my...
That's right. Wow. That's a unique thing to Android.
Go with Sprint, everybody. Come on. Jeez. Or go with Android.
So you are using the quick service and the face-to-face over the cellular?
I use it with my daughter all the time.
And it works just fine?
Yeah, it works great.
And
Well, you got to keep in mind that the front-facing camera is 640 by 480.
So it's very low
res. So it's not a high-definition video. But what is cool, I use it all the time for her when I'm somewhere. Like the other day, you know, I see the Nook color somewhere for the first time. And
you'll
so I call her up and I'll say, hey, look what's at Best Buy. And all. I mean, she can't tell the quality. She can't tell. But she can at least.
Is the video fairly smooth?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Now, is the audio call on that over the cellular signal?
You know what? I haven't really figured
it
out.
The quick
service? I think it's voice. I think it uses the voice service for the sound.
Okay.
And the cellular and the internet for the video. But I'm not positive about that. I do know that in order for her to talk, like whichever person calls, it works just like a telephone.
Okay.
But the person who answers has to push a little talk button in order to respond to anything you say. And there is a delay. It's not like it's perfect. It's not Star Trek
or Dick
Tracy.
So it's probably both over the internet.
It seems like. But, you know, it works well enough that when I'm somewhere, I can... You know, I can use it and
very cool.
And know that
and that's neat. And again, we're still at the beginning of that technology, which means that more and more it's going to come out
and tied into Quick.
And
you can choose which camera you want to use, but it is more laggy if you use higher end camera. But the other thing too is with Quick, you have the option, and again, it's QIK, not QUIK, but QIK. Quick also gives you the option to, when you set up on their website, they give you a code, kind of like Ustream does, mm-hmm. where you can put that live video onto a website or something like that if you want to, and do live web streaming from your phone. And very Ustream cool. does the same thing. Ustream is a great option for that.
That's very cool. Yeah, I think that, again, I can't imagine where we're going to be in another 2 years, yeah. let alone another 4 years on all this stuff. But I think it's a very cool thing that we're getting into. And communication with video is a very, very nice thing. I'm just going to start queuing us up a little bit.
Sure,
music,
no problem, no problem.
We can talk over it here for the first few minutes.
No, technology is just in a very cool place, and we know that this Christmas is going to be strange as we have, there we go, we got you. We've got tablets coming out, we have e-readers, we have, you know, cell phones are only getting smarter and more powerful and cheaper.
Right.
You know, get a $49 cell phone, smartphone now.
And in some cases free, I've seen a couple free
yeah,
ones.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing I will say about tablets is we're coming into the holidays, there's been a... Up or down?
Down, just okay. a little bit.
There's been a lot of $149 and $179,
yeah.
$179, $149 tablets.
Right.
At Office Depot.
Again.
Target. Those are very, very entry-level, spooky kind of things.
You know, if you want to
read...
Older
technology.
Yeah, if you want to see what to look for in an inexpensive color tablet, CNET just put a great article about that this week.
Cool.
And there's even Android tablets out there that come with a stylus. They don't
Throw
even have
that up as a shotgun every now and then.
Yeah, they don't even have it. I can't. I got to get a new username and password for your site. But yeah, I think so. Well, it's okay. We'll figure it out later. Otherwise, I would have a long time ago.
No,
but yeah, they tell you there's some out there that don't even have the capacitive screens that you have to actually use a stylus for. There's some that take some that take 3 minutes to start up and don't respond and all sorts of problems. Some of them you actually have to take a screwdriver to get the SD card out. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there. So CNET has a great article.
Ones.
Yeah, don't
because
buy.
You won't be very happy with the cheapy ones.
Exactly.
Because there's some good ones, very good ones,
yeah.
that are for just a little bit higher.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing an explosion of them coming out.
I think
the
big names right now that you see, Pantech Digital is a big one that everybody has, and it's a fairly nice one. Of course, the Nook Color is a variation of an Android tablet, and the Galaxy Tab is the mother of all Android tablets, but it's a little expensive, so... There's a lot of them out there, and of course there's the iPad, which isn't an Android tablet, but it is, you know, it's the one leading the pack right now. So there's a lot out there.
Very cool. All right, well, we will, let's wrap this up for this month, or this week. We're going to be back next Wednesday on the third Wednesday from noon to 1 for the Public Affairs show next week. And we appreciate all the calls. We actually had quite a few calls for our 5:30 evening.
We're doing a podcast
tomorrow.
We're recording a podcast tomorrow, too.
So we got all kinds of things going on. Just keep your eye on Help Me Rick. Thanks very much. Have a good evening.